greater enlightenment, greater education. But with that comes those who may desire to twist some things and may not give you, or who desire not to give you, I should say, the whole truth.
Right.
For the sheer purpose of selfish gain. And it's necessary for us to be ever vigilant. That's why I say specifically, and this particular text on today was not on my watch. I don't know how many of y'all, I know you were in the military, but some of the things that you just don't do on my watch, you know, because at some point in time, when it comes down brass tacks, somebody needs to be held accountable for it.
Right.
And on top of that, there is a sense of virtue that we need to have. Whenever we move forward, we need to make sure that we can surely say that I've done the best that I could. I had a young man at work, and I understand what I say because I know some people get deeply spiritual when I say the best that I could. I said, well, the power of the Holy Ghost rides in me, so you're doing what God would do. Well, God's going to do it through me, right? So, it's not like he just empties me, who I am, out, and the Holy Ghost comes in and just, like, makes more of just like him.
No.
You know, it is the sheer purpose and beauty of it is that God allows the Holy Ghost to work through you as the vessel.
Right.
And your personality, how you are, what you are, I mean, he tempers them and he corrects those evil dispositions, if you will. Amen. And he allows us to come to the point and place where we're ready to say, hey, God is doing a work in me. How many of y'all know God's doing a work in you?
Amen.
Amen. But it sounds odd, and people say, okay, yeah, I'm with you so far. Well, if he's doing a work in you, then that means he's got to use you to do it. All
right,
so you can't just empty yourself of who you are. You don't lose who you are, your makeup, and the things that you've been through, the ups and the downs of life, as some would say, the vicissitudes of life. Don't just disappear. It is a simple fact that we need to realize that God is going to use you. And how about I can probably make this, I'll make this plain. Somebody sent me out this on this week. And I loved it. It was talked about Flight 2013. Anybody get that email? Flight 2013? All right. Well, Flight 2000. No. Somebody sent it to me. About Flight 2013. It's about ready to take off. And its destination is abundant living. And it goes on and it talks about that, you know, we're going to be flying at a high altitude with great expectations. Person ended up saying, hey, there's no bags allowed on this plane. We're going to keep going high and high. And I was like, you know what? I like this. I said, I'm going. So what I'll do is I'll send it out to you. But it was one thing that held true to me is that, you know, I liked it. I was going with it. And I'm like, yeah. Then God brought me back just as surely. And he said, hold on. What you mean no baggage? I said, I'm going to take you with or without baggage. You know, where you need to go, I need to explore your baggage while we on the trip. It doesn't matter. If your baggage on board, I'm that kind of God. I can take your baggage with us and still end up in the same place where I intended us to be to begin with. That's what I'm talking about, right? And we need to understand the wholeness of the gospel of Christ. Is that he accepts you as you are, but he loves you enough not to leave you as you are. Right, he wants to change you. He wants to move things around in you. Amen. To the point where, you know, you realign and all that you become a reflection of his glory. Amen. But you don't lose who you are. Right? You don't lose that. And God's that kind of God. Anybody glad about that today?
Amen.
Amen. That being said, let's pray and we're going to move forward. Father, we thank you for this. We thank you for the opportunity just to be in your presence and to know that, dear Lord, you care for us more than we could ever care for ourselves. We thank you because, dear Lord, you know our needs and you know them right well. And Father, we pray even now for those, dear Lord, who are suffering in whatever facet of their body, dear Lord, whether it be mental anguish or physical anguish. Father, we pray for them. And, dear Lord, we even extend our hands and our hearts toward the hospitals and to the various rooms. And even those who've suffered loss of loved ones. Father, we pray for their mind. We pray for their heart. We pray for restoration in their body. And Lord, we know that you're well able, dear Lord, to encompass them and surround them and, Lord, bring them comfort and peace in this very hour. So, Father, we thank you again and again for the love you've shown us, dear Lord. Even when we did not love you, even when it seemed like, dear Lord, we turned away, God, you still cared for us more and more. And, Lord, you called us to your side. And, Father, we pray that you might give us a mindset today to be ever vigilant, ever diligent, dear Lord, to do your perfect will. And, dear Lord, to love you and to stop stopping. Dear Lord, just to move on and press on in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. The Lord grant us wisdom on today. Amen. So what we know that if any man ask of God, let him ask. If any man, excuse me, lack wisdom or desires wisdom, let him what?
Ask
of God. For he gives what? He gives it how?
Liberally.
We know that James says specifically that God will give you wisdom liberally. So, we need to make sure of, above and beyond all things that we come to a state and presence of mind that God is willing to give us the answers, right?
Amen.
Anybody know that? That God is willing to give us the answers.
Yes.
Now, he's not going to abort the test. Understand that there's a difference. He doesn't abort the test. The test does not conclude. He will give you the answers as you go along the way. Amen. And as any good teacher will, he'll make sure that at some point in time, then the test, he might even be quiet. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? All right, he might be quiet while the test is going on. So here's one of the things that I'm learning, and obviously I really wanted to press in your spirit because I thought it was necessary. I don't know if you've ever been here with this particular scripture, Proverbs 22 and 12. Proverbs 22 and 12. When you get it, say, I got it. Man, if you don't have it, just say, wait on me.
I got it.
All right.
I don't.
All right. All right. I think we have some interest. All right. If you have it, just read it for me because apparently... Say it loud like it's hot, juicy gossip, and you want to tell everybody on the block.
The eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge, but he overthrows the words of the faithless.
Okay, so we understand that God loves to, his eyes preserve what?
Knowledge.
So we must come into, so God wants to make sure that we preserve knowledge, but he overthrows the faithless. What does it mean to be faithless? No faith, okay? Faithless is another word for, how about unfaithful?
Those who are not faithful.
Run with me again. We're just trying to nail this down to those who are unfaithful. Unfaithful means that at one point in time, can I count on you if you're unfaithful?
No.
I can't count on you, right? I really can't. I can't trust in you. I can't lean on you and expect you to come through for me. There you go. All right. And we need to understand that there are times in our lives where surely we've been in those positions. And I guess I'm going to fight with this thing for a little bit. But you know what? I think I'm going to win. Right? Surely that is necessary. Proverbs 26 and 13. Somebody go there with me. Proverbs 26 and 13. If you got it, say, I got it. All right. Bring it forward for me.
The slothful man said, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the street.
Keep going for me.
As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doeth the slothful upon his bed.
Alright, so here we're understanding that there's some things that are linked together. That particular scripture, Proverbs 26 and 13, it says a slothful man will say that there's a lion in the street. He'll come up with any excuse, if you will, not to go out there and make this thing happen. Right? He'll come up with any particular excuse and say, well, God, you know, I would, but, you know, there's a lion out there. And if he in the street, I'm going to stay inside and I'm going to wait for the lion to move. Now, the question is, if you really want it, what should he go get?
A lion tamer.
a lion tamer, or at least a lion gun. I mean, we want somebody that has, that can bring forth some answers, right? That can seek God's face. And you know what? And if God wants his eyes upon those who preserve knowledge, is that God really wants you to come into the knowledge of what it is. Listen, if you know the goal is here and you're somewhere on the other side of the planet, your task now is to seek the face of God to figure out how to get to the goal. It's not my job now to say, well, God, you know, there's a lion outside, and I really don't know what to do about that. So how about I just stick here and do nothing? And I'm going to restart this real quick because I need to get to some other text.
You say you need a certificate?
Yeah, something's that's not ever faithful.
Tell him you don't need it
this time. Come on now. All right, I do me a favor if you will, real quick. I know you're gonna love this particular scripture. Go to.
Please remove your CAG from the reader.
Go to 1 Corinthians. 15.
Please remove your CAG from the reader.
1 Corinthians 15:58. 1 Corinthians 15:58. I know you've heard this many times, and for some of you it may even be a trite statement. 1 Corinthians 15:58. If you got it, say, I got it. Yeah. Amen. Whomever wants to read it like it's good for your food for your soul. There you go. I know some, man. I understand we got some Christians that say you shouldn't talk about gossip. But there are folk out there that do gossip, and they say it loud, don't they? They say it loud. All right. So what is our charge then? And if we were to read the scriptures that precede that, we'll find that it says, the sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our what? Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be what? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the what? Work. Right. I know some people have said word, and I understand that. We have been saying it for a long time, but it's the word of the Lord. Yeah, we should stay in the word of the Lord, but we need to make sure we're in the what? The work of the Lord. And I know oftentimes we kind of dictate, we say specifically that depending on which Bible you want to read, it when we get to go to heaven, you know, we won't be no working there. I don't know what kind of God you're serving, but you know what? If you start reading Genesis, the first through the second chapter, you find out that God himself did what? He worked, because it said on the seventh day he what? Rested from all his labor. But even more so, if you go deeper, you find out that he gave Adam a task to what? Tend the garden. So there must be some work involved in this, right? Even in Eden, there had to be some what? Some work. The thing is that most people attach it to the fact that after the curse, what did Adam have to do in order to get fruit from the ground? He had to work a little harder. There we go. He had to work a little harder. He had to struggle with it, right? The struggle is over when we get to heaven. The struggle is over when we get to paradise. Understand that the struggle is over. Right now, we're in the struggle. How many of y'all know that's where we are, right? So while you're in the struggle, if you will, you're in the press, it's necessary for us to understand and to actually not just discard it, but there will be a time, a period of time, where work will seem impossible. Right? The work will seem impossible. The task will seem too large. But how many of y'all know that God says what? In Christ, all things are what? Possible. Through Christ, all things are possible. So we want to make sure that we focus our hearts on the facts of life, if you will. How many of y'all remember that show? All right? The facts of life. The facts of life. The fact is your body may become sick. But the truth is that God can what? Heal. All right? The fact is that you may be in poverty, but the truth is that you can be what? Made wealthy or abundant. You can live in a life of abundance. How do we turn this corner? As we just went through Proverbs, the 26th chapter, and I believe it's the 14th verse, it says, as a slothful man is on the hinges. Go back there, 26 and 14. Proverbs 26, 14. As soon as this thing comes back up, man, we're going to have some good time. I might have to do it. I have to go my own way. All right, go for it. All right, so Proverbs 26:14, you got it? All right. As a door turneth upon his hinges, so doth a slothful upon his what? His bed. If that's saying nothing's doing nothing, boy, I don't know what else can, right? As a door turns on a hinge, so a slow. I mean, that just means you go back and forward in your bed. You just turn around and around. And, you know, some people hope that maybe I could just sleep my troubles away. You can't sleep your troubles away. I mean, I'll be the first one to tell you. I tried it. It don't work, right? I'm cutting to the chase. I've even tried to sometimes eat my troubles away. Anybody ever tried to do that? I mean, you just try to. You may have went ahead and got. You don't feel all that great about what's happening in your life. So you go up there and you get yourself the biggest, baddest burger or biggest, baddest shake or. Maybe you got a sweet spot for chocolate. I don't know. Because you know what it is? Oh, bro, there you go. Go out there and buy you some shoes. There you go. There's another. You go buy you some shoes. Get something. Go walk them away. These boots were made for walking. All right? And there are things that we do. And believe it or not, I guarantee you, you can pinpoint in your life that there's some things that you're allowing to be a crutch in your life. And you're not giving God his full compliment in your life, because you say, hey, I'm just going to go do this thing. Right? It's the same as turning over and over in your bed. You're still in the same place. You're not going to get rest. Let's be real. You're not really going to get the rest that you desire. You're going to get a temporary reprieve, if you will. Temporary fix. All right? Many people, you say, well, what are you talking about? Well, most Christians, they don't want to do the drug thing. They definitely don't want to get drunk. Right? Most Christians, you know, they just won't do that. Some of them may slip around and, you know, might look at a little pornography because ain't nobody looking in the bedroom, you know, whatever. Because the computer's in the bedroom, so you can get away with that. And, you know, digging in the past, ain't looking over your shoulder, so nobody know. Right? So you might be able to get away with stuff like that. But guess what? God is watching, and on the back end, you know, you still haven't resolved your issue. Because it's a slothful man who will not take charge at that point in time and seek the face of God. What do we start off? If any man lack knowledge, lack wisdom, let him ask of who? God, for he give it what? Liberally. So if you have a problem, how do you get out of the problem? You got to pray about it. But when you pray, what are you seeking? God's favor. What else? His guidance, his direction. This is something I learned. It was old proverb. It says you can't get out of a problem with the same thinking you used to get in the problem. Okay? You can't get out of that problem with the same way of thinking that you used to get in. So that means you need to be introduced to a new idea, a new way of thinking, right? A new way of doing things. Let this mind be in you, which was also where? In Christ Jesus. You need to come to that point where God is constantly renewing your mind and giving you new and fresh ideas so that you can find yourself on a pleasant plane. Yes. Right? Now, I know some of us would actually, I'm going to discount this thing. I know some of y'all would actually think that at some point in time, you know, things should just happen about them, happen about the way. I just walk and it just happened about the way. And the truth be told is that as we give our life and our hearts to God, we'll find that our walk becomes more pleasant and our ways become more like him as we allow him to renew our mind, renew our setting. I met a young man this week and I loved it. So that he just blessed my soul. We just got introduced while we were in the cafeteria. And one of the things that we learned is that God will remove you from one circle and put you in a new circle. And he'll put you in a new circle, and that circle will give you a new circle of friends and a new circle of people who will edify you. Now, if you're still in a circle where people aren't edifying you and the people around you are negative, and all of a sudden every time something goes wrong, the faces are twisted, right? Lips look busted and look like they've been sucking on some lemons, you're in the wrong circle. We need to make sure that we're in a circle of encouragement. We're in a circle where people are actually encouraging our souls and telling us that, hey, we can do better things. Now, don't get me wrong. Sure, we need discipline. But we need that constructive discipline that says, this is not the way you should do it. This is the way you should do it. And when you do it, you're going to be the better for it. You with me so far? Amen. So we want to keep our minds there, because this is Romans 8:37. I know everybody knows about that. Romans 8:37. I already hear somebody going for it already. Not going for it already. And it says specifically, anybody, some of y'all could probably quote it by now. Amen. Y'all can read that together. Go for it. Let's do that again for all of us. Let's do it again together. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that what? Loved us. What does it mean to be more than a conqueror? I know we went through this before, and I've heard people say it. What's more than a conqueror? How can you be more than a conqueror? Well, let's define what a conqueror does. A conqueror comes in, tears down, takes, and in many instances, he leaves. That's all he has to do. That's what a conqueror can do. Come in, tear down, takes what he wants, and leaves. But what is more than a conqueror? Well, if we know we have to be conquered, if I'm going to be more than a conqueror, so I have to do more than what? Come in, tear down, take, and leave. All right, now we're getting it. Now we're getting to understand. So it is by all intents and purposes that God expects us to not just come in and take, but what? Take over. He expects us to, if we're going to be more than a conqueror, we come in, we take over. We take over all the responsibilities. We begin to set up camp, and we do what Isaiah 9 and 6 said that our Christ would do. So the government shall be upon what? His shoulders. So that means we establish a government. And it sounds crazy, but I really want... the best way to canonize this or even give it an iconic figure is to help you understand what it meant for people to do colonization. When Spain sent Columbus over here, when many other, even UK sent their people over here, they sent over, and they had something in mind. They didn't intend just to conquer. They intended to establish dominion. You ever took notice, and I really want you to think about it, and I'll give you even more. So you ever noticed that when we went to the moon, y'all remember them planting the flag? Right? We were the first ones here. Right? We claiming the moon in the name of the United States of America. Right? Nobody else has been here. So we're the first ones. You know what? Here's the thing to think about. I think from my understanding, believe it or not, there's some plan afoot to actually put McDonald's on the moon. They just haven't got the shuttle ready to make it happen yet. But the plan is there. Somebody decided, hey, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to set up camp. I'm going to take dominion. You realize, again, example, have you ever paid attention to how many times you've passed the McDonald's? You think their desire is just to be the number two or the number three or the number four? What do they want to be? Number one. So the idea is that somewhere, I know in America right now, because we have antitrust laws, surely you can't be the only one. But I can do my best to be what? Number one. And my understanding here is that when God says we're going to be more than conquerors, is that we need to have that mindset that I'm going to plant my flag wherever I go. That flag is going to say I'm with Christ. I'm planting my flag. I'm setting up dominion. But in order for me to set up dominion, even as the scriptures say, the first thing in order for a man to take over somebody's house, you must bind the what? The strong man. You got to figure out what's the strong man in your house, in your neighborhood, and the people where you, in the cubicles you sit around, you got to find out what that strong man is. And then ask God to give you direction on how to pray to take down that stronghold so that you can come in and what? Set up dominion. Look, if I can take this bay cube by cube, I want to go cube by cube. You know, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about setting flags up so that people can say, hey, you know what? I believe in the God he serves. I believe in what's his name? His name is what? Jesus. All y'all say it like you know it. His name is what? Jesus. So we want to have that mindset where we become more than what? Conquerors. We become people who set up what? Dominion in the earth. And that's God's desire for us. That we no longer be those who was. That's what, okay, now let me bring it in for you real good in Deuteronomy 28 chapter. Come on, Deuteronomy 28 chapter. Somebody go with me real quick, Deuteronomy 28, and maybe this can make some more sense to you. And right around verse, I believe it's verse 12. Now, I think let's back up a little bit. 28, Deuteronomy 28 and verse 9. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. Come on. Listen, and I really want to bring this into fruition. If you're bringing in a new country, one of the first things that you do when a country lands is they teach you their what? Their language. Right? They teach you their language so that we can what? Communicate. And one of the things that you, if you ever noticed, I don't know, y'all, I just got to do this, but in Acts the second chapter, somewhere around the, you know, between the first and the third verse, it said that there came a what? A sound from heaven as a what? Rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house wherein they were sitting. I believe, if I'm understanding correctly, that he was giving us a what? Heavenly language, so that we might be able to converse with him freely. Do we understand that when the Holy Spirit fell from heaven, or came from heaven, however you want to put it, that God gave us a what? Heavenly language. He gave us the language of the kingdom, so that we might have the language of the kingdom to bring forth and do those things which even the enemy cannot even understand, because the Spirit of God says in the First Corinthians, I'm giving you a whole lot, the 13th chapter, that if any man speaketh an unknown tongue, he speaketh not unto who? Man, but unto who? God. So if I speaketh unto God, that means even the enemy has no understanding. It's like encrypted intelligence. Man, you don't know what I'm talking about. It says, the old folks used to say, if I don't know what I'm, at least I need to moan. But God give you a little bit more than a moan when you speak that way, because now you talk it under God, and God has the ability to give you the interpretation. And sometimes we lay them gifts down and say, well, God, I don't know. He says to actually tell you, look, if you read that scripture, most people don't know it. They just speak in tongues and just walk away. The scripture tells you specifically, because we need, everybody say understanding. It says specifically to let him pray for what? Interpretation, right? What? Don't just walk away. You speaking to, oh, I got the Holy Ghost. I'm speaking in tongues and walk away. No. You just heard from heaven, right? You just heard from heaven. Don't just walk away from that fruit on the tree, right? You need to go in there and get that thing. Ask God, what did I just say? What's going on? Reveal it unto me, Lord. I promise you, I can keep my mouth shut. Just keep it in my head, Lord. I don't care. God, if the enemy can't read my mind, hallelujah, amen. He can tempt me, right? And I know some of y'all say, well, he can't read. No, the enemy can't read your mind. There's no way in the scripture that tells you that the enemy can read your mind. You say, well, where do I get these temptations from? Remember we talked about last week, the carnal man. That carnal man devises things. He comes up with imaginations based on the things he sees, feels, or hears. That carnal man is at work in you. The enemy has no ability to interject thoughts into your mind. There's no way in scripture you can prove that. But it's the heart of man that is inwardly wicked. It is then devised itself to figure out imaginations and to come up with things. To say, hey, you know what? That's a bad idea, but let's do it. It's going to make you feel good. And then he works through that. Exactly. That's the enemy's. He entices you. Right? If you don't like chocolate cake, I can't entice you with chocolate cake. I can't do it. But the enemy studies you. And so we don't spend our time, what, studying our enemy. If you know that's what he's going to do, okay. I'm being honest with you. You pull up the church. Let me run through this real quick. You pull up the church. You know, you should already have a list of people who you know choose to antagonize you. Right? Y'all know there's some people that just want to get on your bad side. There's just those people out there. You should already have a running list. You should know, okay, if I see this person, I know to put a smile on my face and pray while I'm talking to you. You need to have a game plan. You need to have a game plan. You're not to be run out of the room. That is not, if you're going to establish dominion, oh, I'm teaching good now. You're not to be run out of the room. If you're going to establish dominion, you need to have a game plan, even with people who you know may not like you. Because I found this scripture. If this thing's come up, you know how we used to say, if you dig a hole for me, you might as well dig a hole for yourself. You ever heard that? You know, there's a proverb that says, if a man dig a hole, he going to fall in it. God skip over to digging two holes. He said, look, you gonna fall in it. It's in Proverbs. I'm waiting for it to come up. I had it all together for us, but for whatever reason it's going on, I'll send it out for you. But if a man digs a hole for you, he's gonna fall in it. It's going to be for him. He ain't got to dig two. We say dig two. No. God said, you're going to fall in the one you dig for me. Right? Here's the thing. Everybody say, understanding. That's why he said, pray for those who despitefully use you, because he has no desire for these folk to fall by the wayside. They may treat you evil, but there's a reason why. When they fall in the hole, you need to be able to pray so that they can come up out. God is in the resurrection business. He's in the redemption business. Right? There are people that need to fall down in order for them to know that there's a way up. Oh, y'all need to, come on, y'all. And you know what? If you become like them, then they don't see the way up, because you are the closest light they have.
You don't, right? Exactly.
All right. So we need to come to that understanding and actually, my time's running out, y'all. But we need to come to that understanding and be able to be, everybody say, enlightened through the wisdom of God. All right. So turn with me real quick. So I'm still there. And the people of the earth shall see, verse 10, Deuteronomy 28:10. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the what? Name of the Lord. And they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground, and the land which the Lord sware unto thee and thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. Good treasure. The heaven to give thee rain, and the land in his season. And to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not what? Borrow. Here we go. This is why we're talking. How can you you gotta be able to establish dominion to finally get this, because we quote this often. It says, and the Lord shall make thee what? The head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be what? Beneath. How many of y'all know that you don't want to be beneath? Amen. You want to be above only. If thou shalt hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. God is telling them, I'm going to set you up to have dominion. Dominion. People coming to you saying, hey, I want to be like you. I want to know this God you serve. I've been telling myself, we're going to hit these two verses and we're going to get out of here. Hallelujah. Anybody been blessed so far? Amen. We want to establish dominion. Get yourself, I don't care if you feel like it, get yourself a flag. Amen. And then say, if somebody wonder you what the flag is for, say, oh, well, you know, I'm just practicing something I've learned in Bible study. Amen. I'm practicing something I'm learning in Bible study. As soon as, you know, they keep talking to them, you want one of these flags? Amen. You know, make it a pretty flag. I might have come with that myself. Amen. Anoint the flag. Put it in a cube or something. Man, I tell you, every time they come in there, the anointing be upon the flag and be in that area. Hallelujah. We old school used to go ahead and anoint the cubes when they come in. Get some oil and anoint the chair. Amen. Don't put it too much on there. It might get grease on the clothes. But bless God. Hallelujah. That's right. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we extol you, brethren. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward what? All men. Hallelujah. That's his word right there. You got to be patient toward her. All men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. But everyone, if you will, follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. I know it sounds crazy, y'all, but God doesn't intend us to render evil to evil. You know, I've been in that situation where, you know, I could do you wrong. I sure could. You know, I probably feel good about it. In the back of my mind, I know, you know, I'd be feeling good in front of my mind where God resides. Amen. My higher brain functions. Hallelujah. The synapses will be going off. Said, Mike, you know that's wrong. Amen. Do what you're responsible for. You need to do what you're responsible for. Don't let someone else's inability to perform become yours. Don't accept someone's handicap. I don't know if y'all got that right there, though, but don't let someone's handicap you. Amen. You keep on charging forward like a good soldier, and you find that God is going to encourage you and make you the better for it. Amen. Let me move forward one more time, and this is the last scripture, and I know we got to go.
You say, don't let the devil live in your mind rent-free.
That's right. That's right. Don't let them take up residence, and you know what? Mm-mm. You're going to get out of here. There ain't no space in here for both of us. Amen. We're gonna do our best to get you out of here as quickly as possible. Now we commend you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which ye have received of us. For yourselves know that we ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Okay, this speaks specifically that we need to make sure that we stay in a right realm, in a right ring, and around people that will continue to encourage us, because we don't want to be around those who walk disorderly. They're those who call themselves Christians, and for whatever reason, you know, I'll be ready to say it specifically, the fruit isn't there. All right. The fruit's not there. You say you're a Christian, but the fruit's not there. They shall know us by the fruits we what? Bear. The fruit's not there. It's not my point to say you going to hell, because I'm not running up to you, but I don't have a heaven or hell to put you in, but I have a Bible. Amen. I have a Bible. I can put you in the Bible right between the texts. Amen. And tell you exactly what God expects of you as a true Christian and a true child of God. And I tell you what, if you become like that man that beholdeth himself in the mirror and then walk away and you change nothing, that's on you. But God has, you know, no longer holds me accountable except to encourage you to do the best, amen, that God expects of you. Hallelujah. Where were we? I think. Yeah, let's conclude right there. But I got to put this part out there. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. I skipped over that part, but if a man ain't working, he should not eat. There are plenty of people that should have been sitting in the dining room at the church. They were busybodies. Amen. But the pastor said everybody gets to eat, so I'm obedient. Amen. But some folk I want to grab them by, hey, you ain't working. Let me stop. You being a busybody. Oh, come on, y'all. Don't get me wrong. Shoot me down. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you, you know, I know some people say, that's just despicable. No, it's not. That's true. That's where I am. I mean, you need to actually conform. Come in. If you want to be a part of the group, be a part of the group. Amen. What do you look like being a part of NRA and don't own a gun? What kind of foolishness is that? I'm NRA. You don't have a gun. No. Nope.